Welcome to the serialized short story audiobook collection, Bones Are White, by Scott Sigler. Get the stories in Bones Are White for all ebook readers at scottsigler.com/bonesarewhite, or from that same page as a full-length audiobook. You can also buy the ebook version directly from the Kindle Store, the Nook Store, Apple's iBooks, and from Google Play. This book contains harsh language, adult situations, and lots of violence. So if you're easily offended, cue up some Taylor Swift and enjoy.
You've done this before, right? Sure, Chuckle said. The devil hands out deals for fame and fortune all the time. You don't need talent to be famous, just a good contract. Bob Saget was my first client. I just found a loophole in the Britney Spears contract. And you should see the renegotiation I did for Ryan Seacrest. I always wondered how he did it. Chuckles started reading the contract. He ran a highlighter over the contract and made notes on a yellow legal pad. Victor watched, or tried to, but he was a bit too drunk to see straight. And you think this is going to work? I think it will work, but this is up to you, Chuckle said. As your legal counsel, I have to warn you that Satan won't be happy to hear from me. If we don't succeed, you'll be in for a pretty rough eternity. There's varying degrees of hell? Sure, Chuckle said. As you may have guessed, Satan isn't a nice guy. If you think burning an eternal flame is the worst he can do, you've got another thing coming. So if I hire you and we don't win, then I'm fucked. Let's face it, Victor, you're already fucked. It's just a question of degree. Personally, I think we're going to kick his fork-tailed ass all over the place, in a metaphorically legal sense, of course. But it's up to you. As your legal counsel, I'm obligated to give you all the facts. Victor leaned back in his rocking chair and mulled the possibilities. An eternity spent writhing in burning agony, skin perpetually blackening under the caustic kiss of sulfurous flames, internal organs cooking forever and ever. And that was the best he could look forward to? Fuck him, Victor said. I was misled in this contract, and I want out. That's the spirit, kid. Chuckles pulled a piece of paper from his briefcase and started filling in blanks. Victor leaned forward to look at it. What's that? A writ of formal protest. The party in the first part, Satan, has entered into a binding agreement with the party of the second part, you. And the party of the second part finds the contract inconclusive with his original intention of verbal agreement. Then the party of the first part, when formally served with this writ of notice, becomes... Whatever, Victor said, cutting off Chuckles' windy explanation. What's it mean in layman's terms? It means, as soon as you sign this, Satan, or an official representative, has to come here and do battle. Battle? A legal debate, if you prefer, Chuckle said. It all comes down to a battle for your soul. Chuckles offered Victor the paper and pen. Just sign here. After I sign, how long till we get our day in court? It happens immediately. No judge, just me and the legal representative of Satan. You remember how you knew the fat guy in the three-piece suit was Satan, the real McCoy and not some crackpot? Works the same way in debate. We just know who wins each point. We know when it's over, and we know who won. Victor started to sign, then paused. Varying degrees of hell. That left a lot to the imagination of a horror writer. Just sign it, Victor. You got something better to do first? Like maybe wait for Fanny the Fluffy Little Kitten's Saturday morning cartoon to be all the rage? Victor signed the paper. A stench-laden cloud of sulfurous smoke billowed in the middle of the living room. Victor, for one, was glad to see at least something a bit more along the traditional lines of demons and whatnot. Considering the stakes, a little dramatic entrance couldn't hurt. Satan himself, resplendent in an immaculate three-piece suit, stepped forth from the rapidly dissipating cloud. He stared hard at Chuckles.
"I am pissed off," Satan said. "I want you to know I was in the power tools aisle of a Home Depot in Des Moines, closing in on an aspiring actor."
Chuckles stood and made a frowny face. "Gee, that's too bad." Satan glowered at the lawyer clown.
"So, you and I finally meet on the field of battle."
Chuckles smiled his grease paint smile. "It's a long cry from the condom aisle at 7-Eleven, eh, pal?"
Victor stood up.
"Wait, finally? Chuckles, what does he mean, finally? I thought you'd done this before."
"Sure, but not with the big dog himself," Chuckles said. "I usually deal with one of his minions. Think of them as combination demon legal aids."
Satan smiled.
"Did he tell you he's lost two in a row? Did he tell you about those poor, tortured souls?"
Victor looked at Satan, then back to his clown lawyer.
"Is that true? You've lost your last two cases?"
Chuckles sniffed his blue plastic flower. "Don't sweat it, kid. I've still got a winning record." Satan laughed.
"I'd hardly parade 5 wins and 4 losses as a winning record, Chuckles." "He didn't tell you how much, did he, Victor? You really should ask more questions. I bet you always buy retail."
Victor moved to the couch and sat. He put his head in his hands and moaned with the noises of the doomed and the damned. Chuckles smoothed out his lime green suit. "My client's shopping habits are irrelevant. Satan, you knowingly misled my client into a fraudulent contractual obligation. Since Mr. Sellers did not fully understand the agreement into which he entered, he is free of any obligation to you."
"Your client had the opportunity to review the contract," Satan said. "Your client waived that right. Ignorance of the contract's content is not a defense."
"There is also breach of said non-obligatory contract," Chuckles said. "My client wanted to be a horror writer."
"He is,"
Satan said. He put a hand on his chest and leaned back in mock fear.
"I happen to be quite terrified of fluffy kittens. Horror is in the eye of the beholder, wouldn't you agree?"
Chuckles looked down. He picked a piece of furniture dandruff off his big red right shoe. He took a breath, held it, then let it out through his red nose. "Cultural definitions of horror are the standard," he said. "However, the eye of the beholder in this case happens to be the marketplace. In the case of Greenwell versus Mephistopheles, I proved that contractual disagreements of cultural standards must be based on the accepted standards of mortal society, not the opinions of either pawns of hell, agents of heaven, or the voice of the damned."
"Yes, but you forget Simpson versus the state of California," Satan said. "In that case, it was established that societal standards of behavior are irrelevant in the face of physical evidence, and I believe you'd accept the contract your client signed as physical evidence."
Victor's stare bounced from Satan to Chuckles, from Chuckles to Satan. He didn't follow the argument, but suspected Chuckles was down 30 love. Satan's grin never wavered.
He knew he was going to win.
True, true, Chuckle said. But in the case of Grog versus He Who Walks Like Death Amongst Men, 16,301 BC, you yourself ruled that the verbal agreement is more important than the written contract.
Satan's arrogant smile faded.
You're citing Grog as a precedent? They didn't even have writing then. They signed deals by leaving teeth marks on sticks, for crying out loud.
Chuckles shrugged, as if he were a helpless victim to the pure force of fact.
What you say is true, but a precedent is still a precedent.
Satan stared, then shook his head.
Grog? You're using Grog. But you haven't used that precedent in all 9 of your cases against Hell.
Chuckle's white teeth flashed from beneath his black grease-painted lips.
Been saving old Grog just for you. Does that piss you off? Back to the subject at hand. Since we've established that the verbal is the primary form of agreement, and nowhere in your contract does it specifically state that all verbal agreements are secondary to the written form, then we must gather that your verbal agreement with my client takes precedence over the written contract, correct?
Satan pointed a finger at Chuckles.
That's a fucking loophole, and you know it!
There are no loopholes, the clown said. There are only interpretations. You said you would make my client a horror writer, and there are no societal standards anywhere on Earth that would construe Fanny the Fluffy Little Kitten as horror. Ergo, you, Satan, my friend, are in breach of contract.
Satan stood quiet for a moment. Victor had a feeling that something big had just taken place, a major swing in momentum. Judging from the conceited smile on Chuckles' face and the look of fused hatred on Satan's, Victor dared hope that he'd won.
Soon, Satan said, very soon, I'll have you where I want you. I'm going to take a century's vacation when you die. Do you hear me, Mulrooney? A century! I'll invent tortures that will make you beg ceaselessly!
Chuckles grabbed his crotch and shook it. Hey, Satan, how's that quota coming anyway?
Satan growled.
Chuckles started putting his notes in his briefcase. You know, I've got 2 more cases coming up. All you have to do is rip up my contract and I'll let them slide.
You'll run out of loopholes sooner or later, Satan said. I'll keep making the contracts tighter and tighter, you fucking clown lawyer!
I'm not a clown lawyer, Chuckle said. I'm an attorney for the damned. Don't forget, Beelzebubba, you made me the best. I'll keep finding ways to beat you.
We'll see, Satan said. We'll see.
With that, the billowing cloud returned, and Satan stepped inside, disappearing from Victor's living room. Victor watched the last of the cloud wisp away into nothing.
What just happened? You're off the hook, kid. Your soul is your own again.
What about Fanny the Fluffy Little Kitten? Chuckles closed his briefcase.
The invalidation of the contract frees up any and all intellectual property rights generated from said contract. All rights revert to the creator, free and clear of contractual obligations.
What?
You can publish the Fluffy Kitty book, and your soul still belongs to you. Don't forget, I get half. Remember, I found a loophole for you. I can just as easily find a loophole against you, should you try and renege.
Victor was free? Just like that?
But what if I don't want to write that book? I just want to write horror stories. If I'm truly out, can I just not publish the stupid kid's book?
Chuckles smiled a, "Do you really want to fuck with me?" smile. Victor felt as if an icicle tickled down the back of his neck. He didn't like the look on that painted face, not one bit, and suddenly found himself wondering if he was any better off indebted to Chuckles Maroonie than he was to Satan. His cellular chimed lightly. Victor answered, never taking his eyes off the smiling attorney for the damned. Hello?
Victor, this is Morty. Listen, this shit is blowing up, my friend. Joshua's college roommate happens to be Charlize Theron's agent. We sent the story to the agent, and guess what?
Charlize Theron wants to make a movie of my book?
Hell yes! She wants to play Fanny, and get this, she said she wants a private meeting with you so she can convince you how badly she wants it. I heard mention of a kitty costume.
Charlize Theron, Victor said, in a kitty costume, meeting with me, in private.
Boom goes the dynamite, Victor. Forgive me if I put that image in my spank bank. My God, I'm envious of you. But hold your horses, it gets better. Penguin is insisting that Fanny be a series. I've got Joshua right here, and he's offering $2.3 million for the next book and wants to option two more at $3 million apiece. Now, how soon can we get another book?
The numbers danced in his head. Over $8 million for just over an hour's effort. Far cry from a few thousand dollars for 10 years of work. As yet, he hadn't signed any contract to publish Fanny the Fluffy Little Kitten. But if he didn't, he knew Chuckles would find some interesting clause and hand his soul over to the devil once again. And, more importantly, he wouldn't get to see Charlize Theron's kitty costume. Cellular still pressed to his ear, Victor walked over to the kitchen table and picked up the .44.
Victor, don't drag out the suspense. When can we get the next story?
Victor stared at the gun, stared at the still cocked hammer. There was only one way to keep his soul and his integrity, and he had to do it now. His eyes traced the length of the rust-speckled barrel.
Victor? Hello? You there, kiddo?
For the moment.
Well, when can we get the next story?
Victor made as if to point the .44 at his head, then sighed and let the weapon hang heavily near his hip. I just happen to have a second book already finished. Fanny's taking a little camping trip.
Sounds good, kiddo. I'll be waiting for it. You're rich, kiddo. Rich to the tune of $8 million.
Morty disconnected. Victor pocketed the phone. Chuckles set the briefcase on the table, then rubbed his hands together.
Well, that call sounded positive. So, just how much are you making for me?
In that moment, Victor knew he'd spend the rest of his life writing cheesy children's books. The money made it too hard to just pull the trigger. His spirit hung low. He'd escaped the deal with the devil, but his soul remained sold. Somewhere in his imagination, Victor heard the squeal of tires on hot brimstone and the jovial laughter of a fat man dressed in a three-piece suit. But there was one way out. For the first time in his life, a truly inspirational idea jumped into Victor's head. He'd just beat a deal with the devil. He'd be damned if he'd let anybody share his sellout money. Victor looked at his lawyer.
How much? We'll make 8 million. Or should I say, I'll make 8 million. Victor raised the 44. Chuckles' face probably went white, but who could tell under all that grease paint?
A vacation? Mephistopheles asked. You're taking a vacation? For how long?
A century. Satan answered with a wide smile. I haven't taken a vacation since humans beat the Black Plague.
But a whole century? Mephistopheles asked. What the hell are you going to do with that much time?
Satan's grin was a mixture of joy and creative evil. I've got a few things in mind. Did I ever tell you how much I hate lawyers?
You have been listening to The Bones Are White serialized short story audiobook, written by Scott Sigler. This audiobook was produced by A. Kovacs and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on the author or to hear his free weekly fiction podcast, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Greed by the band Separation of Sanity.
I am a creeping cancer, rots you to the core, pumping through your blackened heart, seduction of your soul, separation of your senses, sanity, your currency. I am your rolling gun, on your knees, kiss and scream.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.